on July 28th, 2000.
Okay, Mr. Donald Craig, thank you for meeting with me today. I'm going to ask you, what was your complete name?
Donald Francis Craig.
Donald Francis Craig. And when were you born, Mr. Craig?
December 1, 1925.
Okay, and where?
In north of Wellsford, New Brunswick.
Okay.
On the road between Wellsford and Gagetown, the area was known as, I think, Petersville, and they called it the Headline Hill.
Right. Okay, now you would have been born in a family home?
Yes.
Okay, and that would have been probably with the aid of a midwife at that time, I believe?
Yes.
Okay. Now, your name, are you named after a relative? Or someone, a family friend?
Only the Francis, which came from Francis McKinney, my mother's grandfather.
Okay. And have you ever had a nickname? Anything else?
No.
That you've gone by?
No.
Okay. When you were younger, do you remember what you might have wanted to be when you grew up?
No. I had no idea.
Okay.
I still don't know.
And what's your mother's name, sir?
Hilda Craig, and she was Hilda Corbett before she was married.
Okay, and she married somebody from...
She married John Craig from the Tobik, from Hillside, which was a train stop on the rail line between Perth and Plaster Rock.
Okay. And do you remember when she was born?
She was born August the 5th, 1904.
Wow. And is she has passed away since?
No, she's still alive, 96 years old.
And where does she live?
She lives in Perth.
In Perth.
New Brunswick.
Right. And your father's name?
John Craig.
John Craig. And
mm-hmm.
Do you remember when he was born?
He was born April the 5th. 1902.
Wow, it's amazing you remember those dates so readily. And is he still with us?
No.
No, he passed away. When was that? What would that have been?
About 10 years ago.
Approximately. And do you have any the most vivid memories of your parents? Something that sticks out in your mind?
No, not anything specific, no,
okay.
Just that they
do you know
were normal parents.
Okay, good parents, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And you remember, did you ever know how they met or how they came to find one another?
Yes, mother was teaching school at Hillside, and she met my father there.
Right. Yes, sir. And they would have gotten married right there?
No, they were married. They were married at the homestead down in on the Gagetown Road.
Nice. And do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, four. Yeah.
Four, and their names? Maybe starting with the oldest.
Well, I'm the oldest.
Okay.
So there was Donald, Phyllis, Ian, Ann, and James.
And you moved down into the Gagetown area to go to school.
Yes.
Okay. Why was it at that time that you went there to go to school?
because it was the middle of the 30s, and money was awfully scarce. Jobs were non-existent. Father was unemployed at that time, and mother's people had lived on a large farm, 200-acre farm, and they had a milk contract, and therefore they were one might say reasonably well-to-do by those standards of the day, and so I moved down there where it was.
Did you enjoy moving down there?
Yes, I did very much.
Okay, and that was by and large from being on the farm or visiting relatives?
Being on the farm, yes.
Okay. And your parents probably didn't enjoy having you going away to school, missing you and so on?
No, but then they had, at that time, they had two of the other children
right.
to look after, so, yeah, it okay. was...
And what was the relation to the people?
Oh, these people were mothers, aunts, and an uncle. Three old maid aunts of hers and an uncle of hers lived in one farmhouse. And I went to live with them.
Right. Were there other children?
No.
Just yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And do you remember how many children there might have been in while you were attending school and at what grade level you were in?
I have the certificate that I received from grade 3 in Dunn's Corner School, and I think that was 1933. I started when I was 5, so I started at 1930, and that would be 1933. I have that certificate.
So were you a good student?
Average.
Average, enjoyed school?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Education was important to your family, obviously.
Yes.
Having to go away to get your education.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have continued on back in your hometown after the 3 years that you spent there?
Well, I went back to Tovik and finished grade 6. In the middle of grade 7, we moved to Perth.
Right.
I finished high school in Perth.
Okay. Just to get a sense of what the school was like, it was a one-room schoolhouse?
Yeah, at Dunn's Corner, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And one teacher, of course.
Yes, Evelyn Dunn.
Very good. And so were you both semester, were you there all year during the school year, or was it? Did you go in the summer or the winter?
No, it would be 10 months. We would be off July and August.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you go back home, or did you
no,
stay there?
No, I stayed on the farm.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So you must have had a lot of fun running around on the farm.
No, it wasn't fun at all. We hayed pretty well through July and August.
Right, so it wasn't much
and
of a break.
Yeah, it was more. It was, it was building loads of hay and mowing back in the hay mow.
Right. So maybe it was enjoyable to get back to school.
The work was easier. Yeah.
Right. At times.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked. I worked on the farm when I wasn't in school.
Right. Do you have many recollections of the community itself, where? Perhaps there's a store.
Yes.
There was a general store there.
General store was owned by John Murphy.
Right.
And John Murphy, the Gagetown Road, it was called, that ran from Wellsford to Gagetown, was intersected at the top of the Headline Hill, and that went to New Jerusalem and on out to Hampstead.
Okay.
Going east. And about a mile east of the Gagetown Road was a store owned by a man named John Murphy.
Right. Did you frequent there often?
Yes.
What type of things did you...
Well, it was an old-time general store which had groceries and flour and sugar by the bag and lard by the pail and crackers by the barrel and tobacco and not milk because everyone had their own, nor butter nor eggs much. Just a typical old general store.
So your one-room schoolhouse, that would have been heated by a wood stove?
Yes.
I would imagine?
Yep.
And probably the same in the farmhouse that you had visited, that you were staying at?
Yes, a furnace, but it burned wood.
Right. And what did they use the cook on in the kitchen?
An old-fashioned cooking stove with the warming oven up across the top. And
did it have one of the water tanks in it as well?
Yes, a water tank which you filled and dipped it out when you needed hot water, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was the firewood that would have had to been used, as that they prepared that themselves, they went out and cut their own wood, right? Did you help out with that as well?
Yep. Sure did.
Did they ever, they must have used candles, kerosene lamps?
Kerosene lamps, yeah, but not candles, no.
Okay. And on the farm, they must have had a spring. They must have had a...
There were three wells located around the house. One of them fed water through a pipe to a pump.
Right.
And the pump was located in the kitchen, and you pumped the water that you used.
Right.
Heated it on the stove.
Okay. Was there anything that a resourceful farming family that they made at that time that you might have helped out with? Did they perhaps make soap or anything like that that perhaps we don't do anymore?
Well, they used to spin, but that was before my day. The spinning wheel was still there, but we didn't use it in my day. Of course, they made their own butter.
Right.
And knitted a lot of mitts and scarves.
Right. Clothing, so they're knits and scarves, but nothing further. They probably
bought the clothing. Yeah.
And chores. Who took care of what? Who cooked and who?
Well, there was these three old ladies, and they shared the cooking and the housekeeping, and they also had a lot of work to do with the milking pail, the milk pails, keeping them sterilized and keeping the cream cool in a cool place and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Outside work was done by the men, of course.
Right. So you were fairly busy with chores and so on and your schoolwork.
Yep.
Did it leave you much time for spare time to...
No one ever thought of spare time in those days.
In those days?
Recreation. The word recreation hadn't been invented.
I see. So did you make any friends in the community? Did you have...
Not other than school, no, because the farms were quite a piece apart. Quite a way apart, and it was too much work to do, and everybody worked from daylight until dark.
So any play time would have been while you were
work time,
and when you were in school.
Well, not entirely, but there wasn't. The people didn't get together other than on Sunday or a holiday or something like that.
Okay.
Then they all got together and had some kind of a celebration. But normally during the week, no, because everybody was working.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yes, times have changed, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you go to church on Sunday?
Not regularly, but occasionally.
Right. You remember which church you...
Well, I remember the location. It was right on the very... peak of the, right on the top of the Headline Hill, and I think it was Church of England, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I know the aunts were raised, the family was raised Presbyterian, and that was an old kirk.
Right.
And it still existed in those days, but it wasn't active. There wasn't a minister, and it was just locked and sitting there.
Right.
So the trip up to the Church of England, if I'm correct in that, it You know, it was something they did just because they thought it was time to go, I guess.
Right. Now, in mentioning trips and traveling and the farms being distances apart, did the family have a vehicle?
No.
No? They're using the horse and buggy?
Horse and buggy.
Right. So they wouldn't have had a vehicle for the whole time you were there.
That's right.
Right. Because vehicles were probably scarce at that time.
They were. And mostly owned by younger men, and the uncle was quite well along in years in those days,
right.
So.
Okay. So.
See, they were born in the 80s.
Okay.
And so they lived somewhat in a style dictated by the 1980s.
Okay.
Influenced by it.
So while you were there for the 3 years, did you have an opportunity to keep in touch with your immediate family?
Only occasionally, perhaps once a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And how would that have been? What kind of contact?
Mother would have taken the train from northern New Brunswick down and spend a few days visiting and then go back.
Wow, that must have been special.
Yeah.
And so was there any mail exchanged to your family?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there was, yeah. I think they wrote about once a week. Although I can't remember being too involved in it. If I heard, it went in one ear, not the other.
Right, okay.
When I was there, I was not the least bit homesick or did I feel detached from my family. I was at home there.
Right.
Very much at home.
You understood the situation completely.
No, it wasn't that. It was just that I was, they made me very comfortable and I was comfortable.
Perfect.
So, in fact, I was very reluctant to leave when the time did come.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, so it wasn't a sad event.
Oh, no, it wasn't a sad event at all.
Yes, sir. Okay.
So if you ever had the occasion to be transferred to the Tobik, you'd know what I mean.
So in your closeness with these relatives, do you remember... were you active in discussing world events? Political issues?
Well, only as it appeared on the radio, the news, as the news was given on the radio in the evening. I heard it. I don't know that I was discussed it at all.
Right. Because you would have been how old?
I would only be, what, 8 years old.
Right.
So nine. At, what, seven, eight, or nine, or... I think 7, 8, and 9, maybe.
On the farm, you said they had dairy cows.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have any other animals?
Oh, yeah. Well, there were horses, sheep, and chickens, and turkeys, and whatever.
Right. In raising dairy cows, what type of meat would the farm have produced to eat?
Oh, beef, pork, chicken. Turkey.
Wow, so they also had beef cattle as well as the dairy.
They would, as they got older, they would find themselves heading toward the table and things like that.
Oh, right.
And of course, they bought beef as well.
Okay. And other than the hay fields, were there any other crops that were planted?
Oh yes. Oats, barley. What else? Of course, a big garden.
Right.
I can only think of oats and barley, but there may have been more.
So the farm produced its own feed for the cattle.
For the cattle. Oh yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
it was self-sufficient that way. Yeah.
Okay. And the oats and the barley as well.
Yep.
Okay. Was it used for anything else?
No, I think it was...
Wasn't milled?
Barley meal was used a lot, and buckwheat meal? Didn't barley make buckwheat meal? I'm not sure, but we took it and had it ground, I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And did the farm hire anybody? Was anybody else?
Well... I don't know whether you've run into this or not, but in those days, there were young men brought from Britain, orphans.
Okay.
Have you heard of Kosser boys?
I believe I have, yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a man in Gagetown who ran an organization called the Kosser Farm. He brought orphan lads from Britain to Canada. They paid for their passage and upkeep by working for the first, their contract was, and I'm not familiar with the contract, but they were to work until they had paid back their obligation.
Okay.
So they would arrive, we would put in for one, and a young man would arrive in the spring, and he would work diligently till fall, and then he'd go back to the Kosser farm.
Wow.
Now, the uncle paid Kosser so much for this boy's labor. I have no idea how much.
Okay. How old do you figure he might have been around? The young British horse?
14, 15, 16.
Do you associate with him much?
They would be there all summer.
Wow.
But we would associate in terms of working side by side.
Right. Not the most social of
No, nothing social.
Just to get a sense.
Now, these young men would eventually, once they paid off their obligation, would disappear into the woodwork. They would go on to St. John or wherever and get a job, and then go on, and God knows where they are today, but that's how they got a start in the new world.
Right. That's an excellent program back then. Were there any special days with all this work going on that I know you mentioned Sunday. Was that the day that perhaps company would stop by?
Oh yes, everything stopped. Everything stopped on Sunday, the no work period, other than the cattle had to be milked, but and fed and milked and whatever, but it was a day of complete rest.
Of rest.
The other big occasion was the 12th of July.
What happened then?
Well, everybody in the community, all the men in the community belonged to the Orange Lodge, and the Orange Lodge celebrated and they were, let me say that they were descendants of the Irish.
Right.
So the 12th of July was a huge picnic and a big celebration.
Do you remember being a part of that?
Oh, absolutely.
And having a sense of the festivities?
Well, I guess. Lots of ice cream and lots of pop.
Excellent. So, would you say that you understood that the Irish were celebrating
there? Oh, yes. And the celebrating the Battle of the Boyne and all that, yep. It was... a huge celebration. And then, of course, Christmas and New Year's, and that was about it.
Anything, was Christmas pretty much the same as what you had experienced at home?
Yeah.
Or did that change in any way?
No. Christmas was atypical Christmas.
Right. Christmas dinner.
Other than in those days, they didn't attach lights to the outside of the house at all. That came later.
And
but other than that, the tree and the Christmas dinner, gigantic dinner, and what all that
were
took place.
Were presents very prevalent?
Oh, yes. And the Christmas tree and decorated tree.
And church on Christmas Day?
Yep.
Do you remember some of the things that you might have received back then? Anything that sticks out in your mind for a Christmas present that may have been?
No. All the usual things that kids get, like the little toy wagon and train set and that sort of thing. Yeah,
right.
That happened in those days.
Right. So did you get to see your immediate family?
No.
Nope. Christmas time?
No.
Nope. Wow. Did that?
No.
Nope. Didn't know.
No, I was very comfortable.
Okay. And would you say that your relatives that you live with, did they have come in regularly on Sundays? Was that something people would stop by and visit?
Yes, it was.
Every
yes.
Sunday, and then in turns, occasionally you
yes.
go out and visit?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And that could happen in the evening. Often a neighbor would drop in during the evening to talk because they exchanged information about crops and the weather and whatever.
Right.
You know, but how do we
and you had occasion to
adjust to the fall, to all the rain we've had this year, sort of thing.
Right. So how would they entertain when somebody stopped in? What would they do to
a cup of tea and cookies and things,
right.
and piece
sitting,
of cake or whatever.
Sitting
that,
in
that
the
sort
kitchen
of thing.
Or
yeah.
was there a sitting
yes.
room?
Oh yeah, the kitchen was unless it was a preacher, it was a kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you know what I mean by that. That wasn't a written rule, but that's just the way it happened. If it was a neighbor, they would not expect to go into the
right.
living room.
Right. Comfortable in,
yeah.
in the kitchen.
Right.
Right. And so, how did in the summer? How did you keep cool? How did you keep your food?
No, well, as far as the people were concerned, they didn't they tolerated the weather, whatever the weather was.
Right.
But the milk was kept in a cool pantry, it was called, and it was on the it was shaded, of course, on the north side of the house, and it was cool in there.
So
some farmers had ice. They would cut ice in the winter and put it in sawdust and
right.
keep it. And at times we had ice, but not always.
Right, it was a luxury at times.
Though. Yeah, it was.
So. You didn't have a swimming hole or anything to
no.
to get.
No,
to
we didn't there. No.
no. And in the winter, nothing more to do for your chores than bundle up.
Yeah. Well, in winter there was the milking, of course, night and morning.
Would
was
you
the big thing?
Would you have milked at 8 years old?
No.
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 Running around.
But my job was to go. In the summer, my job was to go out and get the cattle, bring them in.
Right.
Round them up and bring them in.
At dawn?
Well, after. Early, 6 probably, 6:30.
Right. So you would do that every morning before school?
Yep.
Wow.
Then it was a mile and a half to walk to school.
So, a mile and a half, so up at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yep.
Rounding up cattle in a fairly large field, I would assume.
Yep.
And then a mile and a half walk to school.
Yep.
You were tired in the evenings.
Not that I remember.
No? Lots of energy?
Oh, yeah.
You must have been in great shape.
No, I think all the kids were. That was just...
Par for course.
Par for the course, yeah.
Do you remember...
Well, then, of course, I had to go and get them at night, too.
Again?
Yeah.
A mile and a half home and
yep.
round them up again.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the winter, must have been difficult rounding up cattle?
No, they stayed in the stable in the winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to?
Or if it was a nice day, they'd be out in the yard around, but no, they were there by the barn all winter.
Do you remember any particularly bad storms?
Yeah, I do. I remember one time it snowed so heavily and drifted that the snow came up almost to the eaves of the house, and we had to go out. We went out and shoveled it out, and or shoveled an area in front of the door, and then cut steps up in this snow drift to get up to the top of the level of the snow. And it was just beneath the eaves that time. That's the one bad storm I remember. I also remember that lightning struck the barn across the road, ripped the roof off the barn, and then another bolt of lightning blew the telephone off the wall. That I'll never forget.
So the bolt of lightning would have hit the...
They were two different bolts, but one struck the... The family's name was Chittick, and it struck the Chittick's barn, and it ripped about a strip about 2 feet wide, and it zigzagged the full length of the barn, on the barn roof, tore all the shingles right down to the boards. And then, about 5 minutes later, we got one that struck a...
Either a pole or the line.
Well, it was a lightning rod on the roof, which was to bring the lightning down to the ground, but it jumped from that to the telephone line and blew right off the wall.
Scary incident?
Yeah, it was.
Did the...
Even the sound alone was...
I was there to change the tape over. Other than your 3 years visiting there consecutive, did you visit that farm?
Yes, every summer. I would go back when we lived both on the Tobik and later when we lived in Perth. I'd go back in the summer during the school break and work on the farm.
Now, before, when you were there for the 3 years, you were there obviously to go to school. Why did you return in the summer when you could have been with your family back on the Tobik?
Because the uncle, as we call him, was elderly, and he had a 200-acre farm to look after, which was a bit more than he could handle, and I would go back and help him with the haying.
Okay, so it was more of a kind gesture and a favor to the uncle?
Yeah, a favor on my mother's part in that she would realize the situation and
offer your service.
Yeah, and offer my service. Yeah.
Right. But you liked it.
I didn't mind. No, no.
Right. As you grew older, and were you working there at the time that word of the military base coming?
No, I had...
You would have moved on to other things before then.
Yeah,
did you... So when you were finished school, did you get a job right away?
When I finished high school, I went in the service.
Okay. So you might... excuse me. You might not have had contact when word of the military base was...
No,
coming.
I think... What... Do you know the year?
50... Not the exact year when the word came down that they were coming in.
What year was it? Was the
I believe
expropriation 53, concluded?
53, I believe.
Oh, by that time, no. By that time, I would have been in Toronto working.
Okay. Did you have? Do you remember hearing about it?
Oh yeah, I would have heard about it from mother. Yes.
Right. Do you remember thinking about your family members that were there would have to have...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was cause for concern for them?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember where they might have gone? Or
yeah, they went to live with mother.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In the Tobik.
Yeah, they finished out their years with her.
Right.
In
so
Perth.
Did they... any sense of how they felt? About the...
Oh yeah, they were distraught. They were really upset about it.
Right.
Although it wasn't realistic for them to be that way, in that the uncle had died, and here were three old maid aunts living on a farm that they couldn't handle, and something would have had to be done.
Right.
So with them, but this came along and solved the problem.
So perhaps
it would have been difficult to get them away from there, but they couldn't they couldn't handle it, so.
And what were you doing in Toronto? What did your...
Well, in 1953?
Right.
Oh, I was a salesman for H.J. Hines at the time.
Really?
Mm.
Wow. So how many years had you been in the service?
Well, I was 2 years in the service.
Right. And stationed with which Army, Navy?
Well, I started off in the Air Force, and then it was concluded that there were more air crew in England than they knew what to do with, so I moved over to the Army. And I served in the Army in Camp Utopia, outside of St. George, New Brunswick, and then Sussex, and then Brockville.
Right.
And then back home.
So at what time would you have met your future wife?
1946.
She would no doubt be impressed that you remember that year.
Well, I should. Today's my anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
We were married 53 years ago today.
Congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Here I am taking up your time.
No, that's all right.
Do you remember you had children?
Yes.
Later in life? How many?
One.
One child?
One daughter.
And do you remember sharing, as you share with me today, or do you remember sharing any of this with your daughter? What it was
very
like?
Very little. Very little, because she hasn't really inquired all that much. Some, right. You know, bits and pieces, but mm-hmm. nothing.
Right. Do you have any sense of, or perhaps a philosophy, anything that your experiences have taught you that you might share with?
Oh, boy. Yes, but I don't know that I could boil it all down to one single piece of philosophy.
Just from talking...
Many of them, really.
Just from talking to you here today in this short period of time, I get a sense that you learned a lot from the values of hard work at such a young age.
Yeah, it didn't hurt.
And that helped you out later in life?
Yes, very much so.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you probably would have passed that on to your daughter, I'm sure.
Well... She got it. I don't know whether I passed it on or whether it was in the genes or where it came from, but she certainly,
right.
She certainly
have
been successful.
So anything in your life that would have given you the most pleasure or satisfaction with your experiences on that farm, in that area, would that have been one of the things that...
One of the things I learned very early in life was I didn't want to be a farmer. that I learned
and
very early in life.
Served you well.
What else did I learn down there? Oh, well, I learned that I was not the type of person who would ever be happy being remote, living on a rural road miles from my neighbors. That sort of thing was not part of my makeup.
Right.
I used to look across the fields and I'd see a car going by on the road and wish I could, you know, yell, stop, I'll go with you.
So you probably consider yourself a social being then, someone who enjoys being interactive.
Very much so, yes.
And where do you live now?
I live in Mississauga.
Right, Mississauga. And so you are probably very involved in your community's neighbors,
several things,
friends.
A lot of things.
Okay. Where would you say that you gained that sense of need for interaction, having lived in Tobik, in remote Tobik, and then down on a farm?
I don't know. I think it was inherent. I really don't know. I enjoyed being a salesman very much. And then, I enjoyed working in a big company with a lot of people.
Right.
Later on, and the social intercourse was something I looked forward to.
Okay. Would you say, as we know that the events in your early childhood helped shape who you became later, would you say that there was a person that may have influenced your life greatly?
From there?
Or other.
Oh, well, there were, yeah. There were several people over the years that had a lot to do with where I went and how what I did. Even back then, yes, there was one of the aunts had a great influence on me.
Right. Maternally?
Well, yeah, she acted as a mother really when I was there, and she had a lot of influence on me as right. well as my own parents.
What could you gauge the impact that the uncle had on your life?
Well, he may have had a quite an influence in the opposite way, in that I was always determined to do things beyond what a normal boy of that age should be doing, such as, well, I would want to mow with a mowing machine, and he would conclude that I was far too young. Later on in life, I was known as a person who gave people responsibility beyond the norm and developed them more than anybody else in the company. Right. So maybe he played an important role by holding me back.
More so than you know.
Yeah.
Was he a well-respected man within the community?
Yes, he was, yeah.
And obviously you would have respected him
in
turn.
Yeah.
Any further sacrifices that were ever made, other than, of course, obviously being apart from your family? That
any sacrifices that I made? Not that I can think of.
No. Other than the early childhood ones, the moving away from your family and so on.
Yeah, but you see, I didn't look on that as a sacrifice.
It was never a sacrifice.
No.
Right.
Actually, it was more of a reward than anything.
Right.
In that, I did not like the Tobik. I never liked it. I was never at home up there.
You didn't fish the river there?
I thought it was god awful, frankly, and it was. Father had gone. My father and mother, when I was. I wasn't born there, but they went to Connecticut, and after the crash of 29, they came back. That's when they went to the Tobik. And they were poor, damn poor up there, because you lost everything in the crash. And the aunts and the uncle were very comfortable.
Right.
Sunday dinner had port wine on the table and 8 pieces of silver, and it was a completely different lifestyle, and frankly, I liked it.
Right. Just to clarify, in calling him the uncle...
Oh, he would be my great uncle.
Your great uncle. And his name?
John McKinney.
John McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
Was his wife...
No, he was not married either.
Right.
So the 4 people that were in that house were all unmarried. They were brother and sisters.
Right.
Brothers and sisters. They were siblings, but they were
right.
not married.
And they were comfortable in their...
Oh, very comfortable.
Lifestyle being that
close. Oh, extremely comfortable.
Isn't that something? Do you ever wonder what may have become of the family farm, the property, the community, had the military not moved in there?
No. I wouldn't have any idea. No.
Just to imagine, hypothetically, if the military did not move in and the farm was to be inherited, any idea who may have fallen in line? Would you consider yourself a candidate?
Pardon?
Would you have considered yourself a candidate?
Yeah.
Really?
But I wouldn't have taken it.
And why is that?
Because I didn't want to be a farmer.
Right, but the owning land didn't interest you, at least? Not so much being there and working it, but...
No. No, well, mother would have, as far as the estate is concerned, mother would have inherited the...
Right.
I shouldn't say would have, she did.
Right. So there was an inherent closeness between the aunts and her mother.
Yeah.
Right.
Very.
Let's see. Do you think if it was still there, you would have visited it later in life?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Great place to visit, just not to work there. For life, anyway.
Well, let's put it this way. It was the right choice. I didn't know it at the time, but going on and approaching life from a different angle was the right choice.
Right. Well, Mr. Craig, that was extremely informative, and I'd like to thank you very much for spending the time with me today.
No problem at all.